It was January of 2002, and if I'm wrong, Ashley will correct me. I was a senior in college at that point. Ashley and I had been engaged for a few months, and I was home with my parents over the January term break between the semesters. And it was a Sunday morning. I was supposed to be heading up to Johnstown, which was about an hour and a half away from where my parents lived at the time, to be a part of a birthday celebration for Ashley at the time. Her grandparents were throwing. Well, as the days led up to that day, a snowstorm came into the forecast, and so my plans started to change a little bit. My original plan was to be in worship on Sunday morning at the church that my father was serving and where I grew up, and then after the service, head up to be with Ashley and her family for her birthday. But as the forecast came in, it looked like the snow might start earlier than I had anticipated, and so when I got up that Sunday morning, I made the really smart decision people make when they decide to try to beat a storm. You ever do that before? So I decided, oh, you know what, I'm not going to be able to make it. If I'm going to make it to Johnstown at all, I've got to get on the road. I've got to get up there before the snow hits, and that way I don't miss the birthday party. So I guess, you know, God, I'm going to have to take a rain check on this one, and I'll see you next week, next Sunday. So I hopped in the car, and I headed up the road, and the snowstorm came even faster than I thought it was going to. And as I was driving down the road, very carefully, I pride myself on being a pretty careful driver, especially in bad conditions. As I was driving down the road, going relatively slow because it was a heavy and wet snow, I lost control. I don't know if it was black ice or snow or what the case may be. And it's one of those moments where things start to flash before your eyes. There was a river off to my left and a little bit of a drop-off to it, which of course was my biggest fear. And I started, the car just started to spin as I was driving. Some of you are shaking your heads. You've perhaps been in a circumstance like this before. I had never been in an automobile accident up until this point. Oh, not that I was driving. And so as I spun, I just lost it. I couldn't believe what was happening. I tried to do what I could with the wheel, and I had no control over what was happening. Spun three or four times before. Finally, the back end of my parents' car rammed into a big stone, and I came to a stop on the side of the road while other cars just barely missed me as they were driving down the road. This was in the early days of cell phones for us too, and I tried to reach for a while my folks, who of course were in church. And finally, eventually, someone with a four-wheel drive vehicle in church came out to pick me up and took me home. I didn't make it to the birthday party that day, unfortunately. One of the scariest situations I've ever been in my life, and it was one of those times where I felt totally helpless and totally out of control. And I imagine some of you have had that kind of experience before, right? This is part of the human experience. This is part of what we call the human condition, which is from time to time to feel as if our sense of control is completely lost. And of course, it's only ever an illusion anyway when we feel like we have control, isn't it? In the midst of the world we live in and the way our lives play out. But we find ourselves in those situations where we feel like we have no control over what is happening or what is about to happen. We feel helpless. That's a part of my experience. It's been a part of your experience. It's been a part of the human experience and human condition since the very beginning. And we even find examples of it in our Holy Scriptures. We find an example of it when Jesus is in the boat with his disciples out on the lake. Disciples who are used to being in these boats. These were fishermen. They were used to these vessels. They were used to this body of water. But suddenly a storm kicks up. 8-foot waves are crashing the boat, and they become fearful for their very lives while Jesus is asleep in the stern. And they call out to him saying, "Do you not even care that we are perishing?" And eventually Jesus wakes up and calms the storm, and they return to the shore. We see it in the life of the man from Gerasene who was afflicted with the demon, who had to be chained up to protect himself and to protect other people, for he could become so violent because of the demon possession in him, until Jesus came along and healed him of it. Over and over again, we know these stories from our own experience, and we know them from Scriptures, and we come up against yet another example in the story from Mark today. Those two stories I just mentioned immediately preceding this story of Jesus' interaction with Jairus. But in the story of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and his interaction with Jesus, we find a message about what it means to live into that sense of helplessness and sense of lack of control. Jairus was the leader of the local synagogue who, like many in that area, had heard of what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was doing, and in particular, the power that Jesus had to heal people of all kinds of sicknesses and afflictions. And Jairus' daughter was gravely ill. We can imagine that prior to this illness, Jairus was one who felt very much in control of his life. He was a prominent man in his community, a leader in the synagogue, one to whom other people would come for advice, though one who other people thought was wise in the scriptures and in the ways of the world, one who we might think would have it all together, until suddenly that which he treasures the most in his life, in his earthly life, seems to be slipping through his fingers as his 12-year-old daughter becomes sicker and sicker. And so he makes his way, like so many others, to this sea, to the lakeshore, to where Jesus has just come off the boat. And he comes to Jesus and he asks him if he would just lay his hands on his daughter and make her well. That's his only wish, this Jesus who has the power to do so. Lord, if only you would. But even as Jairus has traveled to find Jesus to seek what might be the last best opportunity to save his daughter's life, word reaches him from home. Jairus, you're too late. Your daughter is dead. Why don't you leave Jesus alone and we'll go back and lay her to rest properly? And Jairus, we can just envision those of us with children and grandchildren probably fell apart getting that word, hardly able to stand or to breathe. And there in that moment, Jesus stands and receives the same word that Jairus just receives, but Jesus hears it or understands it differently. He doesn't have the same reaction Jairus has, and not because this isn't his daughter, but because he knows something else, something greater is at work here. And so Jesus turns to Jairus and he says these so important five words: do not fear, only believe. And so he takes Jairus and makes him take him and his closest disciples to his home. And when they get there, they find this whole scene around this young girl who has been pronounced dead, professional wailers on hand, moaning and mourning. And Jesus sends them out, and he takes Jairus and his wife and his disciples, and he goes into the house with the little girl. And he touches her and he says, Talitha kum, little girl, get up. And she does. And she is well again. And the sense of helplessness before is replaced with a sense of the greatest joy that one could ever imagine. There's another remarkable story of Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus' touch at work in a miraculous way. And in the middle of the story, this little gem, where Jesus turns to Jairus and in maybe his shortest sermon in all of the scriptures, preaches an important word to him, an important word to us, when he says, do not fear, only believe. You see, Jairus wasn't the only or the last person to face a situation where he felt helpless, where he felt completely out of control, where he felt like there was nothing he could do to make anything in the world better. In fact, I would venture to say there are some who are sitting here this morning who feel the same way. Maybe not for the same reason, but either now or just a few days ago, or who knows, in the coming days, you have felt or will feel that sense of helplessness, that sense of lack of control, as if the car is spinning and there's nothing you can do until it stops. As if something has died and you have no power to bring it back. And into that moment, Jesus speaks to you in the way that he spoke to Jairus. Jesus speaks to me in the same words that he used that fateful day and says, do not fear, only believe. Because you see, according to Jesus, in those moments where we feel helpless, where we feel out of control, we have two choices. We can succumb to the fear of helplessness, to the despair of it all. We can spiral even further down and out of control. Feel like there never will be a time again in our lives or in this world where we can sense that hope or that carefree spirit again. Or we can believe. We can fear and go into that dark place and not know when we will see the light again. Or we can believe. Believe what? Well, Jesus doesn't say. Believe that our prayers will be answered. Believe that things will be as we think they should be. Believe that we will get what we want. We might start to get that sense when we read stories like this of Jairus' daughter and others in the scriptures, where those who believed and trusted in Jesus, or at least were at the end of their ropes with no other options, came to him and in the end found relief and hope in their situation. We might get the sense that if we were just to mine those stories enough, we could pull out of them the gems that we need. We might get the sense that we can pick up on some action, that if we just do that, then the interaction will be complete and God will have what God needs to then do what we need God to do. But that's not why Mark told this story, or Matthew, or Luke, or John told their stories. Because in the end, it's not really about Jairus or Jairus' daughter. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the one who spoke, "Do not fear, only believe." The one and only Jesus Christ who could say that to Jairus in the moment that he thought he lost his child. Because Jesus knew that death does not get the last word. Because Jesus ultimately would be the one to pay the price and win the victory over death. So that when we face death in our lives, not just physical death, but all seeds of death in our lives, we need not fear either. We need only believe. Believe what? No, not really. Believe who? For John himself answers the question of what it is or who it is that we are to believe when he writes, as Jesus spoke, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When we are facing those moments of helplessness, when we feel out of control, we have a choice. But Jesus instructs us in that choice, do not choose fear. Do not fear. Only believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the one who, in the midst of that helplessness, in the midst of that lack of control, that sense of control, is the one who walks beside you and knows even better than you do how much you are loved and how much God wants for you that which is good. So, my friends, and this day or in the days to follow, when the times come, because they will, where you feel helpless, where you feel like your hands on the wheel aren't doing what they should, when you feel out of control, know that you have a choice. You can choose fear, or you can choose to believe. Believe in the one God and Father of us all, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. I pray you choose wisely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.